Amy Tan was born in the U.S. several years after her parents immigrated from China. Her father was both an electrical engineer and a Baptist minister. Her mother left behind a secret past in China, including three daughters. When Amy was 15, her father and older brother died from brain tumors, one just 6 months after the other. Her mother took Amy and her younger brother to Europe to escape what she concluded must be a curse. The family eventually settled in Switzerland. For college, Amy returned to the U.S. and earned a degree from San Jose State University and continued on to earn a master's degree in linguistics. She then worked in programs serving children with disabilities. Amy began writing fiction when she was 33. Her first short story was published 1 year later. 3 years later, she published her first collection of short stories, The Joy Luck Club, which critics reviewed as a novel. Amy's other bestsellers include The Kitchen God's Wife, The Bonesetter's Daughter, and Saving Fish from Drowning. Today, we'll speak with Amy about her incredible new novel, The Valley of Amazement. Welcome, Amy. It's a joy to have you with us on the Book Report.
Good to be here.
Share the story of how you came to create The Valley of Amazement. It's centered around a photo.
I have a photo of my grandmother. It's my favorite photo, sitting on my desk. And one day I opened up a book on Shanghai, and I saw 10 women dressed in an outfit exactly like hers. There were five of them actually dressed exactly like her, and the photo was entitled The 10 Beauties of Shanghai 1911, and they were courtesans. And that caused me to rethink who my grandmother was, and I was so intrigued with this, so stunned, that I ended up switching from what I was writing at the time to this novel that became The Valley of Amazement.
Well, to introduce us to the story, tell us about Lulu Minturn and her daughter Violet.
Lulu is a woman, an American from San Francisco, who has come to Shanghai out of foolishness, her own willful desires. But she also believes that she can use her American ingenuity to conquer whatever obstacles lie in her path, namely a family's traditions. And she very sadly realizes that that is not the case, that she can do that in China, that it doesn't work that way. She has a daughter named Violet, who is half Chinese and half American. Violet, however, is not aware of her mixed parentage. And she also comes to find that her world operates in different ways, and her role in it, and so gradually over time, both women endure a number of different upheavals in their lives and changes. For me, the story, however, is really about our own self-identity and how much of it is governed by the family that we are raised with, or unknown forces in our history and hardships we encounter over time, and how we remake ourselves to survive or even thrive.
Right. When you were writing, you actually traveled to Shanghai for background?
I traveled to Shanghai and also to other places in China, into a very remote province. The most remote, poorest province of China, Guizhou. And I also went to Anhui, to an area that would be equivalent to where Moonpond is in the story, about 250 miles from Shanghai.
How did you manage to research what daily life might have been like inside the courtesan houses?
I actually had a number of books about courtesan culture in Shanghai. Believe it or not, it's a hot research topic, and there were no less than five or six different books on that subject.
Life as a courtesan usually ended for women in their mid-20s. Was it common for them to leave the profession and marry and go on to, quote, normal lives? What happened to them?
They typically would become the concubine of somebody, possibly one of their patrons. If they didn't do that, if they had not planned well, they might find themselves going lower into the sex trade. So first-class courtesan would have many more options in trying to marry into a good situation, probably not as a first wife, but as a second, third, fourth wife. So in essence, a concubine.
So opium addiction was a real factor?
Yes. They were smoking it there with their clients. Oftentimes they had to light the pipe and all of that. So, of course, many of them were smoking. My grandmother actually died of an opium overdose, and I know that she had smoked it as a leisure activity, because my mother told me that she recalled passing the pipe to her mother and then to the man she was married to.
Let's talk about the sex scenes for a minute. I'm wondering, as a writer, we've all sort of lived through the 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon and 50 more Shades of Grey and yet more and more Shades of Grey. Do you believe that you have to write sex scenes more graphically now?
Oh, I've never written a sex scene before, and I had written those scenes before I ever even knew about 50 Shades of Grey. What an interesting change in how we read these days, because not that long ago, that would have been a book that most women I know would not have read, because they would say that it was sexist.
To change tacks for just a moment, I was lucky enough to see you perform as the rhythm dominatrix with the Rock Bottom Remainders in Miami at the book fair. How did you fall into this ragtag bunch of authors? How did you become a member of the group?
I was one of the lucky ones recruited by Kathy Kamen Goldmark. We have played all these many years with Kathy, and then she died a year and a half ago, and we decided to be our last show, but we banded together in Miami and realized there's no way that we could ever not be together, and that Kathy would also want us to keep going. So whether we have an audience or not, we're going to just keep playing.
I know that The Valley of Amazement took you about 8 years to write. What are you working on now?
I have a novel that I'm working on, or trying to get the initial ideas down for. I can't really write a novel when I'm on book tour talking about something else, so I've been just putting together my little ideas for it. And I've met an incredible number of really, really nice people. It just makes me so grateful that they've given me this life of being a writer.
Well, we're very grateful that you keep producing these books that are absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye.